actions. Deny them media actions. The truth is that their life is not compatible with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I will quickly tell you of a story, although there may be many stories. And I want to warn also that there are many Bible passages, but I want you to write them down and do like the Bereans. Go home and search and make sure that you put them together. The story is that the general overseer was in a meeting with the pastors. And during the meeting, during the questions period, a junior pastor became rude. It was so terrible that the general overseers released that instruction. Straight away, pastor, you are suspended. You are suspended. And that was it. And when the general overseer got home, the Lord, and he was trying to pray, the Lord said, what has happened to you today? This thing you have done, this you have already suspended. You have to go back to him and apologize. Wow. Apologize to him. He said, sir, why do I do this? Why are you making this? He said, because that pastor is now going to heaven. And he has vowed not to allow you to go to heaven. That became a very difficult assignment. So the J.O. took off right away, drove to the looking for that pastor. Aimlessly, he saw the man. I have come to see you, pastor. Please, the J.O. prostrated. Please, I've come to beg you for what I did in the church. Do you know what the pastor said? He said, who told you? Who told you to come and do this? He said, because, you know, I've decided not to go to heaven, but I've promised that I will make it impossible for you to go to heaven. The man confirmed the word of the Lord. So quickly, the man was restored. That is in the church. They claim to know God, but in fact, they don't know. Because Jeremiah chapter 9, 24 said, you shall glory in the fact that you know me. As God that is just, God that is righteous, God that sows judgment on the earth, and God that is loving kind. That is God. You must know God intimately. So because they claim to know God, they don't know. Actually, they don't know. But they can even tell you, they can speak to you, they can analyze the Bible of God for you. But their actions, their living, their conduct, they are not in line with those who are going to heaven. Praise the Lord. So our concern today is for the people who are going to heaven. Philippians, we go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. We have read it before. But one thing that is very, very important there is that our life, although let's just quickly brush over it, let's just go through it. But whatever happens to me, you must live in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ as citizens of heaven. So it's very important for us to live in accordance with the manner worthy of the good news. And what is that saying? It's saying that our lives will be appropriate to the standard and goals of the gospel. Standard and goals of the gospel. That is the area, the little area that I want to dwell in this morning, this afternoon, just before we just call it a date. So, one thing that is that is very important is that before you can even be a part of those who are going to heaven, there must be a very solid foundation. That is, there must be a genuine salvation. You must be born again. And I want to add here that it is good for you to go, or for you to even preach in the crusade or anywhere for somebody to believe and surrender their life. But I want to let you know that it is more than that. It is very, very more than that. James chapter 1, 22. James chapter 1, 22. First Peter 1, 23. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed. You can read the rest. You know what I'm saying. That you must make sure that the word of God dwell in the person you are preached to and have already confessed Christ and has become a Christ. If you are here today and you have still not given your life to Christ, that you have still not had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not got the foundation, but you can do it today, because today is the day of salvation. It's the acceptable day. You can do it, and the Lord will be with you in Jesus' name. So you cannot even be a member going to heaven without genuine foundation, genuine salvation. In fact, I've likened genuine salvation to be the passport of the country we are going to. And when you have that as a passport, then you need a visa. Your characters and conduct will also make it possible for you to confidently go on that journey. The journey will not be difficult for you in Jesus' name. So having heard about the fact that we should have sound foundation, that is salvation. Our salvation should be very sound. It's not just a matter of saying altar call. You should have progressed. You should have even known the word of God and everything. And those things are the one we want to know. So I want to look at about seven areas by which we can even package ourselves to be able to go on that journey in very wonderful way. And I say that the Lord himself will give you understanding in the name of Jesus. Number one is that we must be close to God and his word. We must be close to God and his word. We have already seen many, many times. You have read it here. You have seen Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 is saying that we should desire the sincere milk of the word so that we can grow thereby. And even Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 is saying that we should not wait as a baby. We should grow unto maturity. And so, what can ensure us to be able to grow is that we should feed regularly on the word of God. We should feed regularly on the word. And if we are feeding, that is, we read the word of God every month. If I ask now, I don't know how many people here have read through the Bible once. I cannot even tell you how many times I've read through the Bible. I have lost count. So you have to have read through the Bible. You have to know the word of God. You have to be feeding on the word of God. And as you are reading the word, you should believe what you are reading. It's not just academic reading. You should believe what you are reading from your heart. Like Romans 10, 9 says, you should believe with your heart, you believe. So you believe in your heart. And as you believe in your heart, you also make sure that the word dwells in your heart. Psalm 119 verse 11 said, your word have I hid in my heart so that I will not sin against you. And Colossians 3:15 is saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So the word must dwell in you. You must feed on it. That is, you meditate, you read, you meditate, study, and you must believe the word. And the word must dwell in you. And not only dwelling, you must do the word. Do the word that you have already been told. You must always do it. Anywhere you find the word of God asking you to do things, you are on your way. You must do it. And that is what we call obedience. So you can see that being close to God and his word enjoins you to feed on the word, to believe the word, to make the word to dwell in you, and to do the word. And if you do the word, then you will be fulfilling the word of God. Because some people, when they even look at themselves in the mirror, like the Bible already said in James chapter 1, they just throw away, they forget. When they read the Bible and they don't dwell in it, they don't allow it to be in them, they will just be like if they have just gone to see the mirror. You can also put together, I've already given you 1 Peter 2, 2, Hebrews 6, 1, Romans 10:9. You can put Colossians 3, 15, and James 1, 2, 2 as that piece of scripture. So living our conduct or living as the citizen of heaven. Number two is that we should mortify the flesh. We should mortify the flesh. According to Colossians 3, 5, he said we should mortify all our members that are in the world. Start giving us the members. But I want to tell you, I put all together, I call it yourself. Self. Mortify yourself that is in the world. I want to tell you today that self is stubborn. Our self is stubborn. When you look at what Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 7, can see in Romans chapter 7, I think 7 or 8. He said, what I want to do, I cannot do. What I do not want to do is what I'm doing. Who can deliver me from this flesh? From this flesh. So we can see there that self has to die. And to crucify death, because we said, Galatians 2:20 said, I am crucified with Christ. See, nevertheless, I live. So to crucify this flesh, I just want you to go and read the account in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21. Beginning from verse 18, through. I just tell you briefly what is there. How to deal with a stubborn child. You know, when the stubborn child is brought before the elders, that is in the times of the Old Testament, they would tell the elders, that is the parents, this child is stubborn. He's a drunkard. He's disobedient. And all these things. So they now order that child be stoned to death. And after stoning the child, they will now hang the child on the tree. That is, crucify him. That is shameful death. You should always be prepared. Because it is the flesh that even we want to hinder many people from going to heaven. But I say today that the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. And at this point, I want you to pray one prayer. Everything or anything in my life, every instrument of death and hell in my life, today, Lord, burn them by your fire. You can pray it carefully. Sorry to ask you to do that. But I believe you can do it in your heart. Every instrument of death and hell in my life, let them be burned by fire. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you. So you have already seen the second point is that you have to mortify the flesh. Living as a citizen, living in this world as citizens of heaven. Number three is that you must persevere in practical Christian living. What do I mean by practical Christian living? Your relationship with others must be characterized by truth and love. That is, you speak to your people, to your brothers and sisters in truth and in love. You don't even confuse, you don't even tell lies. You speak to them. So speaking to them in truth and in love, you also make sure that love is not just emotional love. It's the real, true, and sincere love. Sincere love. Love that we even want to give yourself to others. Praise the Lord. When you are a citizen of heaven, you must be available. Before I go, anyway, I just remember that I have to give you some scripture for that. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And 9. Romans chapter 12, 1 to 2, 9 to 21. So you will see that you must submit yourself even to God and to others as a living sacrifice. Number 4, we must be living in this world. As we live in this world, we must always make ourselves available for God and His service, or His services. That is, must be available for God's services. How do we make ourselves available for God's services? Some of them, they have told you in the announcement today, make ourselves available in the Sunday school, in the Bible studies, in all the works of God. But most importantly, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says, teaching them to observe. Teaching them to observe good things, all the things that I've told you, That's the Lord telling, giving a passing commission to when he was going back to heaven. Gave the disciples that commission that they should be teaching them to observe. Our duty is when we have already known God to teach people to observe. Because many people are not even observing the things today. So for those of us who are already on the way, we must teach others so that we can all go on the way. We must also be able to reproduce ourselves. That is, as we go along the way, we must be able to disciple others. Discipling others means that we should bring others to Christ-like standard. Christ-like standard, what Christ has already taught us. We are following it, and we should be able to bring others to it. So when we are doing that, God himself will be happy about us. It's not just to exist. Right. He has given us knowledge. He has given us our profession. He has given us all the things that he wants us to, like the money today, we have to create time for us to be able to do all these things. And because he's the owner of the time, he's the owner of yourself, he's the one who will make it possible for you to be able to do so. He will not disappoint you in Jesus' name. So you must be available for church, for God's work. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. 1 Timothy 4, 11, 13. And Ephesians 4, 3. That is, we should maintain the unity of the body. That is, we should work for the unity of the church in every aspect. That's work of God. In fact, we should do things in one spirit. All things we are doing, we should do them in one spirit. Because God himself want us to ensure that the church is brought to that unity. We must have things in common. We should have things in common. That is, when you hear this from one brother, the other brother must be able to know, must be able to find the same thing when you get to him, when you try to ask him concerning that question. As a church, we should contend as one man. We should contend as one man. That is, we should face the common foe. That is, even most especially, we should have a time when we go out for evangelism, even most especially. Thank God for the prayer of today that we are praying for Indonesia. That is what we are enjoying to do. Where the gospel is being attacked, it's under attack, we should focus our attention. We may not even be there on the spot, but we will pray. That is, we're fulfilling the work of God, having things in common, and having common disposition in everything that we are doing. The Lord himself will help us in Jesus' name. Number 5 is that we should be prayerful. We should be prayerful. You still remember that prayer is the most effective way of talking to God. We communicate with God through prayer. And as we do so, we also, through prayer, we release powerful or potent weapons against the enemy. Through prayers, we also release the doors. We make the doors of miracle to open for healing, for deliverance, for all forms of breakthroughs. And that is prayer. So we should be prayerful. And no wonder our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Luke chapter 18 verse 1, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, say, pray without ceasing. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, is telling us that we should also pray and watch. Praise the Lord. Maybe we should look at one of these. Let's look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 7. I read. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. I think he put it succinctly in the King James Version. He talks about watchful and prayers. Praise the Lord. So we can see that we have to pray even as we go along. That is what we ensure a very small journey. Because when we see the flesh coming up, we silence the flesh. When we see the enemy want to come, we use the weapons. Weapons, you know, the weapons of your warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Praise the Lord. Number six, we must be watchful. As aliens and pilgrims on this world, we need to watch so that we will be totally separated from the corruptions of this world. That is, we should be mindful. We should be mindful of all our actions so that we are not yielding to the destructive, sinful desires of the world. They are destructive, sinful desires. They will be coming along the way every moment. I know of a story which is a very clear story of a man of God that he wants the church to be full. Then he had to go and look for a babalawo to do, you know what they call the herbalist, to do something, and he buried that thing in the church. Buried the thing in church unknowingly. So one of our friends was invited to minister, and the man was to do three days ministration. The first day, the power could not move. And the man prayed. And the Lord told him that he gave him the point in the church. I'm not telling you, it's not fiction, it's truth. He said you should go and deal with that situation. He has prayed. So when he came the second day, then he said, this place, something is buried into this place. Something is buried and the task will be removed. That is the problem of the church. So the pastor was furious. But the elder said, no, this man has already said something. Let us look at what is inside this place. And they dig it and they find something. Well, it's a very nasty situation. But this, our friend, ended up in police detention. He was there for 7 days before he could be released. Because he went to preach in the church. That is, you have to be watchful. The man of God wanted the church to be full. He went to the herbalist. But at the end of the day, the church scattered. So he was the person who invited the man. So he wasn't it wasn't a coincidence. So he invited the man. So God himself allowed the man to come to expose that problem. So, and we can see a lot of them. I just look at it. I say that it should not be so. Because God is the owner of the work. Why should you be willing to help the work? Praise the Lord. So we should be watchful. We should not compromise. We should not compromise in anything that is in the world. The world is passing with your own destructive tendency. And the Lord himself will keep us. 2 Peter 3,
13 to 14. So number 7, our conduct as we live in this world on our way to heaven, we should stand firm, unmovable, unto the end. Standing firm, unmovable, unto the end. That is just holding fast to the promises of God. There are very many, from beginning to the end. I decided very, very long time ago, when I'm reading through the Bible, the moment I come to a promise of God, I will underline it. And I will go back, I will pray it until that promise is manifested in my life. I will pray it. This word, you have spoken it. And I hold on to it. And some people back home, they already know some areas of the Bible that I dwell very much, that I will always touch. But time is not, cannot permit us, we'll be going into it. I will tell you one of it. It's Deuteronomy 8:18. He said, I'm the Lord that giveth wealth. The Lord that giveth power to get wealth. So it's not your power that you are going through wealth. That you are going, you are searching for wealth. But it's God that gives you the power. Even if you are highly placed and you are even working in the World Bank and you don't have the peace of God and anything, you will discover that all the money you have already accumulated will just go the old way. And like what our daddy has been saying today, concerning that man in illustration, that's why the blessing that God wants to release unto him, but the enemy has already put a pipeline whereby that thing will go. So, God is the one that gives you power to get. Hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to the promises of God. He's faithful. Ready to suffer. Not only to even to go on yo-yo Christianity. Remember that even the people in the that you are living not only as the you are living not only a life of blessing, but a life of suffering. You can remember, we read it. Paul said, I'm still in that struggle. I am still in that struggle. He's calling everybody that when you are going along this journey, it's just a journey that is impeded, is full of tribulations, like our Lord Jesus Christ has already told us. But the beauty of the whole thing is that he is also the one who will take away those sufferings and is the one who will now begin to give you blessings. And sooner or later, we will reach there in Jesus' name. So we have to also make sure that suffering and persecution that we are going through, they are the signs of genuine, of that, the fact that your salvation is genuine. That is it's a testimony, it's the fact that your testimony is a sign. That is, when you are being persecuted, you will now know that, okay, so because God will want to see you unmovable, stable in everything, peaceful. Yeah? And like the story of the storm, that is when Jesus Christ was going with the disciple on the sea, and there was storm. The people, even despite the fact that they know what Jesus Christ can do, and Jesus Christ was there, but because they allowed Jesus Christ to sleep, so the sea was tossing them. So they wake up Jesus. So what I'm telling you, that even in your suffering, make sure that Jesus does not sleep. Wake him up. Let him continue to be with you, and he will see you through in Jesus' name. So I want us to be winding down. So let us look at the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 13 and 14. I will read. But we are looking forward to the new heaven and new earth he has promised. A world where everyone is right with God. And so, dear friend, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to live a pure and blameless life and be at peace with God. God will give us peace in Jesus' name. So we have seen that the journey to heaven as citizens of heaven is a very wonderful one, but it confers on us some duties to be able to fulfill that which he has already put down as that standard, and our conduct and standard, the standard of our conduct as we go along on the way to heaven. In the final analysis, that is at the end of everything, all our good life, all our perseverance, all these things we are doing, they may over a time even touch the heart of unbelievers around us. So they themselves will now repent and believe. And so that we all will go to heaven. You still remember 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. He said God wants everyone to come to the understanding. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but want all of us to come to the understanding and be saved, and to be a member of that journey. The Lord is able, and he will be with us in Jesus' name. As soon as you can still remember, I know you know it very well. That's why I'm not asking us to read it. That is John chapter 14, chapter 1 to 3. The Lord said, I'm going. Where is he going? So let me just put this in the right perspective. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. When I'm ready, I will come back to take you unto myself. So the Lord himself is making ready the mansion in heaven. Almost likely that the mansions are not yet ready. That is why he has not come. But he's coming very soon. And as he's coming very soon, he's coming to take us home. Nothing, I pray, will make us to miss that blessing, that promises of God in Jesus' name. So we have to do all our effort, all that is possible in us to live according to the standard of the Bible, standard of the gospel. Dear Lord, you know, when you begin to read the general epistles, you see the exhortation. They are not there for fun. They are for us. They are for us to be able to edify us and to prepare us for the journey. I pray that when he comes, he will find us not wanting in the name of Jesus. Rather, will find us very, very ready to go with him in the name of Jesus. Finally, let us look at the book of Philippians that we read, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 3, sorry, verses 20 and 21. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take these weak mortal bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same mighty power that he we use to conquer everything, everywhere. The Lord himself is the one who owns us, who is working in us, who is leading us, who is guiding us, and with him around us, we will not fail in Jesus' name. And as church in this place, I want to exhort that you should stand fast in the Lord. You should go on in the might of God, because the Lord is with you. I have no doubt in my mind. I'm not over saying everything, but I know the Lord is with you. But what I want you to do is just to cooperate with God and cooperate with all yourself to be able to make the journey a smooth one. And the Lord himself will take us home in the name of Jesus. I will rise up to pray. So today we are going to pray. Let us open our Bible. I want you to pray one prayer there. Psalm 86, verse 11. Let us read it together. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart, that I may honor you. We are going to pray. We are going to do that prayer. It is there. I want you to even, you can read it as it is written there. So shall we pray that prayer now? Teach me, O Lord. Oh, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart, that I may honor you. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. You can be seated. Before I round up, the Lord is asking me to call on some people who have not had the encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord wants them to be established in that sure foundation. So if today you are here, you have not had that encounter with the Lord Jesus, as we just bow down our head, can I see that hand up? Can I see that hand up? You have not had an encounter with the Lord. You want to have it. You want that sure foundation. You want to tell the Lord that today you want to begin that journey, that wonderful journey. I want to see your hand up. A person here today? The Lord is waiting. The Lord is waiting for you. Amen. Amen. I will rise up. We are going to sing this song. It's just the prayer that we are going to pray. Keep me through. Lord Jesus, keep me through. I don't know whether we know it. Do we know it? Okay. Keep me through. Lord Jesus, keep me through. Keep me through. Lord Jesus, keep me through. There are rivers to be crossed. There are battles to be won. Keep me through. Every moment to be through. Praise the Lord. So we are going to pray. Let us just pray to the Lord. And ask him to keep us. Keep us through the journey. He's the one that owns us. He's the one that called us. He's the one that will also sustain us to the end. Keep me, O Lord. Keep me through to the end. Every plan of the enemy to falter me, to make me, to be derailed, let those plans be canceled now. In the name of Jesus. Let them be canceled. Keep me through, O Lord. Keep me through. Tell the Lord, you have no power of your own. He is the most all-powerful. He has already done it. He has already put it in place. He is to be with you. He is to keep you, to take you step by step unto heaven. There is a passage in the book of Revelation of Heaven by Mary Baker. Somebody who has already even who has won souls for Christ for many, many years. Only unforgiving spirit. Unforgiving sin of forgiveness prevented her from making heaven. So when the woman was asking Christ, he said, "Why is this woman? Why was he not be forgiven for all these things?" Then the Lord Jesus told her that what has been written. There's nothing any one of us can do. If your life continues to be full of the flesh, if the spirit, full fruit of the spirit is not in you, you may not be able to go anywhere. Tell the Lord, Lord, help me to be able to do it today. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Do it, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Before we sit down, the Lord is telling me that there's somebody here who has just looked into himself or herself, saying that, why is it that I'm, even though I have given my life to Christ, I'm still empty. I'm still very empty. Every time I will fall into this and fall into that and fall, why am I still empty? If such person is here today, let him come forward for prayer. Let that person come forward for prayer. The Lord is faithful. Let that person come for prayer. Yes, the Lord is faithful. Why I am doing this? Why I'm doing this? Because he lives. He's waiting for you. Because he lives. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. All fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future. My life is worth. I live in just. Because he lives. Oh, he lives. Because he lives. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. All fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future. My life is worth. I live in just. Because he lives. I want to enjoin you to put your right hand on your chest. Your chest. Put your right hand on your chest.
Thank you, Jesus. Holy Bali Kandara Bali Shundurubu. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Bible says the heart of a king is in your hand, O Lord. Like a river, you can direct its course. Oh, yes, direct the course of this heart to favor you, Lord, to find peace and joy in you, Lord, in obedience to you, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because this is a heart of flesh upon which your word is written, O Lord. Let the richness of your glory be upon this heart in Jesus' name. And your life will never be the same again. You are meant for promotion. You are meant to dwell in heavenly places. From today, you take your rightful position in Jesus' name. Upward ever, downward never. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. Let the peace of God, let the peace of God descend upon this heart. Fill and occupy your throne, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Upon this tabernacle, you will make your abode in Jesus' name. Let everything that has not had your voice before now begin to hear in Jesus' name. Establish your reign and your rulership. Lord, because where you are, there is the fullness of joy.